Okay, the recording has started. Good morning, everyone. We're going to continue with our development of our toy add-on and make it be a little bit more serious today. So I've started up Blender. Oh, I'm not sharing my screen yet. I started the recording, but I'm not sharing my screen yet. Okay. All right, so before I bring my Blender window back up here, I wanted to remind you of where we had left things. So if I do a git log of our project, the last thing we did was on January 29th. That was a long time ago. Wow, more than a month. And the last thing we did was we said create random metadata for each icosphere, define a property group to hold the metadata, and then associate the property group with the objects of Blender's internal data model, and then compute random numbers for each icosphere and assign these values to the object metadata. Okay, that's where we had left it, to kind of make believe that there was some kind of property of these objects that came from some kind of data analysis, and now those data are now hanging on each object. And what we wanted to do next, Lupe's wish list for what to do next was, what if we wanted to now, you know, display that data, you know, print out that data or something. Right, so that's what we're gonna do today. Okay, and so here's our world. And I have, between then and now, I've updated to the latest version of Cell Blender, and my add icos add-on is no longer listed here. So the first thing I need to do is go into my user preferences under the add-ons, and it was a scene add-on called add random icospheres, and I can check that to activate it, save my user settings so that it's there, and then there it is. Okay, I can click on its tab, and then here's what's currently displayed here. I'm going to delete everything in my scene, and I'm going to add 10 random icos. So, okay, there they are. Okay, so just like before. But we don't see the random data associated with these icospheres. But we can go into the scripting interface. And, you know, I think, you know, the way this works is, when we add the 10 icospheres numbered 0 or, you know, nothing through .009, the very last one that gets added is the one that is the active one and is selected, and there it is, right? So I could say, you know, OBJ equals EPY.data.objects. I think I can do this a different way. That would let me just look at the list of objects, right? So I could say, if I just wanted to see what was in there, I could say bpy.data.objects. Keys, I think, because it's a database. It's a dictionary, or it behaves like a dictionary. I can see the names of all the objects in there. But I could also say bpy.context. Object. And it tells me the name of the active object. So I could just say obj is that one. And then I could say obj dot keys. And because we've added to the object metadata, the obj.key shows me the names of the custom metadata that I put on there. So I called it my OBJ props. So of course we could look in the add-on source code, right? To see that we've done this, but I'm just showing you here that within the Blender interface and the scripting interface, you can introspect the objects to see what is there. If there's anything extra that's been added to the object that's not part of the normal Blender things, you can, you know, these custom properties get added as a new key, dictionary key, associated with the object. So now I could do this, I think. My OBJ props keys. And so I can keep going down and down here. And as long as the thing is a dictionary, right? It has keys. But the values, I think, are not, the values are keys in a dictionary called value one and value two. Value one. But if I say dot keys on it, it probably doesn't have any keys, right? Because that is the value. Of course, you can't tell by looking at it I didn't say dot. I have to do it like this, right? I put comma there instead of a dot. And I didn't put parentheses after it. So it says float object has no attribute keys. Okay, so now I have a hint just from this error message that it's a float, right? So I should be able to just say that, and then there's its value, right? So that was a value that was generated just now when I did the add icos to make the 10 icospheres, right? So there it is. That's the data that's associated with there, with the object, and then value two. It looks like we made two different values, maybe two random numbers. I can't remember what we did exactly. Okay, I just wanted to kind of give you kind of a quick and dirty, idea that you can, in the scripting interface, in the Python console in Blender, you can do all kinds of introspection of things.
Tom, would it be possible to make the text a bit bigger in the Python console?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I can certainly do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, in the preferences, in the interface, there's a nice tool where I can enlarge the font. Let's see. 1.5 maybe. How's that?
Well, that's better.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Absolutely.
So I missed a bit of last session, but what are these values then? I'm not sure I understand what they are.
Okay. So yeah. So let me open the add-on now. This was stuff that we. This is, you know, not arbitrary stuff here. This is stuff that we put into the object metadata. So, but let me show you where we did that in the add-on. Okay, so over here, I can, let's see. It looks like our add-on is all in this thing called panel.py. I think we had to reorganize it a little bit. Okay. So here is the code. Is this font big enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I can see it. Yeah.
Okay. So in our add-on, well, first, let me just, in the init.py, which is what any good Python module should have, and a Blender Python add-on is no different from just an ordinary Python module. In the init.py, just to kind of recap, because it's been over a month, right? In the init.py at the very top, we had this required thing called the BL underscore info, which is a dictionary that contains, I think, at least a name and a category are kind of maybe the two required things. And then this is kind of the minimum Blender version you need in order to work it. That's up to you and how you put your add-on together. And then we import BPY, which is Blender Python, and we import random and OS because we're going to make use of those, but maybe not here in this file anymore. And then we import the panel.py right here. This is commented out, so we're not doing that. And then I think the two required things that have to be in this init, in this init.py file, the required things are, well, so the required things are this BL info. You have to say import BPY because we're going to be doing, this is a Blender Python one. And then the other two required things are a register function and an unregister function. Don't have to have this main at the bottom. That's just here if for some reason you were going to run this module from the command line, but we're not. This is all supposed to be a Blender add-on. So you have to have a register and an unregister. Now, our register says to register everything that's a part of this module. So this does kind of automatic filling in of the names of the things that have to be registered. So you don't have to remember every time. And those things are in that other file, the panel.py file. So this will actually look in that panel.py file. And the reason why it'll look there is because up here we said import that thing. So this will import, this will register anything in there. So after those things are registered, we can now refer to them. So here we're saying to make a new pointer property called MySettings. That's going to be part of the scene. So this is extending the BPY types dot scene, which is built into Blender, and we're extending it with a new thing called my settings. And the my settings is going to be one of these things. It's going to be a pointer property. And that pointer property is going to be structured according to panel.mySceneSettings. Okay, and we'll look at that in a second. This is just a quick kind of recap to kind of remind you, and we went through this really fast when we were putting this together, so it's good to have like a little recap to show you that this stuff is not arbitrary. This is stuff we made, right? And this is what made it. And then, so this is extending the scene to have a new kind of property called my settings, and this is extending the object type in Blender to have a new thing called my OBJ props. So down here, we saw that an OBJ, an object, how do we know OBJ is an object? It's just something I called, right? But I can say type of OBJ, and OBJ says it's a BPY types.object, right? So it has a key called my OBJ props. Where did that come from? It came from right here. We're saying that the Blender type called object is going to be extended with a new thing called my OBJ props. And it's going to be structured according to what is here. So this is going to be a type equal panel.my object properties. Okay. And so this is the only thing register does. And then it prints out, you know, that it's, if it succeeds, it'll print that out. If it fails, we'll get an error message from Blender when it tries to do this, right? Okay, so let's look in the panel file. In the panel file, this is a panel Well, this is, it's just a, this panel.py is just the name of this file. We can name it whatever we want, right? But this is part of a Blender add-on. And so this thing says to register this thing, it says do this, which just says to register anything in here by its name. And then when we unregister, if we were to unload this or disable this add-on from within the Blender interface, Blender would call the unregister function, which would just say unregister the whole thing. Okay, so here's where the My Scene Settings property group is defined. This is the thing that extends the scene, and the scene gets extended with a string property called name, which by default says test prop. And let's see if I get out of the scripting interface and just go back to default here. I'm not sure. We're not doing anything with that. We actually, you know, we created this thing, but we're not actually using it for anything in the add-on right now. But there is another property in the scene settings property group called numIcos, which is an int property with a default of 10. And it has a name called number of icos. So over here, this has number of icos and 10. But notice this, when this says number of icos, it's got some capitalization in it. And over here, it doesn't have capitalization in it. So this, and there's a colon after this, and there's no colon after this, right? So there's something else going on with where that label is coming from, okay? But the default is 10, and we saw over here that there was a default value of 10. Oh, and when I hover over this whole thing, let's see, let me hover over it. It says, this is a my scene settings dot num icos. Look how cool that is. So Blender is telling us what that thing is. And that's this thing right here, num underscore icos, my scene settings dot num underscore icos. And if I look over here, it says, my scene settings dot num underscore icos. You can't see the underscore there for some reason. It's probably too thin to be displayed. I think that's a bug. That they're not displaying the underscore properly there. Okay. And then below that, it says, underneath where it says the Python is my scene settings dot num icos. And then underneath that, it says bpy.data.scenes scene dot my settings dot num underscore icos. That's its kind of its complete Blender Python metadata name. And the names of those different parts of it came from, let's just quit from this for 1 second, go back to this init.py, came from over here where we said that this thing called my scene settings is being hung off of the scene metadata as something called my underscore settings, like that, right? And so when I hover it over here, you can see bpy.data.scenes scene, that's this particular scene in the world that we're looking at. That exact one is the scene that is being displayed in Blender, but it has a property called my underscore settings dot num icos, right? So that's because this says my underscore settings, and then the dot num icos is because the my scene settings property, pointer property, a property group, has something called num underscore icos. Okay, and then we saw that the object types in Blender are being extended with something called my object properties property group. That's right here, that's this thing. And again, we made a name for it that we could use in some way, but we're not currently using that in any way. And then we made, now to finally answer the question, where are these value one and value two coming from? They're right here. Value one was a float property that we made that has a default value of zero, and value two is another float property, value two. But where are the values that we saw coming from, that we saw over here, these two specific values for this specific object? That that data is coming, is being set by our operator. So we have an operator called scene add icos. It's a type operator. Let's see that. I think there's a way over here where I can actually show. Or there it is. So I don't have to keep going back and forth. This button here is the operator. It says it's an operator called bpy.ops.scene.add_icos. But that's not what this says. This says scene add icos. It says it's a type operator. Well, the where that name came from was right here with when you have a BPY types operator class, the name that it has in the Blender interface comes from this BL underscore ID name. This is one of the required things that a BPY types operator has to have. Has to have something called BL ID name at a minimum. I think these other things are optional, but useful to set. And so this says scene.addIcos. And if since this is an operator and its BL ID name is scene.addIcos, what this means is that this is an operator whose full name in the Blender interface will be bpy.ops.scene.addIcos, which is what we see when we hover over here. It says bpy.ops.scene.addIcos. Okay. Now, what does this thing do? It has an execute method in this class. So I think when you make an operator, you're required to define an execute method. Otherwise, maybe you just get a default execute method, which does nothing, I think, right? But you have to override the class execute method with your own thing. And a class in Python, a class method in Python always takes as a first argument something called self. And the second argument that's required for a operator in Blender is another argument. You don't have to call it context, but it is the context. And the context is what specific thing in Blender was this operator attached to when you in the scene or wherever it was in the Blender interface. The context is kind of the whole set of data associated with this operator and where it's laid out in this panel on this particular scene called scene. If I had multiple scenes that I had defined, each different scene has its own separate context. And so this button would appear in each scene, right? But each scene would have a different world and a different coordinate system and a different set of objects in it. I could, I'm allowed to do that in Blender. And so when I click on this operator, we have to know which scene is the one that is being operated on when I click on that operator. That comes in the form of this context right here. And in fact, in here, I say I want to get the scene from that context because I want to make use of that scene right here. So I say the scene is the context.scene. And then for I in the range of values coming from scene.mysettings.numicos. So if I had multiple scenes, in each different scene, I could set this numicos to be different values. So in one scene, I might want 100, and another one, I might want 5, right? This would remember. This user interface would remember and know which one was which. When I switch to a different, if I went up here and I switched to a different scene, I would have that. And so here I'm iterating over that number. Oh, hold on 1 second.
What happened to you in my yard?
Oh, I'll do them in a minute. Uh-oh, I forgot to chop the carrots. Oh, okay. Wendy's making a carrot cake, and I have to munch up the carrots to make for the carrot cake. I'll do that after our thing here. Okay. Oh dear. All right. So we iterate over our list of ICOs that we want to generate. And we generate a random X, Y, Z location for each one right here. And then we use that X, Y, Z location to create a new icosphere at that location, one at a time. And we don't give them a name. We let Blender assign the names to each icosphere automatically. That's how we get the numbers, 0 through 9. And then after we add each one, it's automatically made the active object. And so now I can get a handle to it. And then for that one that I've just made, I can set its OBJ, my object properties at value 1 to a random number. So here's where those numbers are coming from. I'm doing it right here. So it's not willy-nilly. It's something that I'm doing, that we're doing. And we set 2 different values that are from 2 different random numbers. Okay. And then we just throw the values in there. And then we return saying that it's finished. And this comment says, let's Blender know that the operator finished successfully. Okay. So this defines that operator in an abstract way, and then the panel type in here lets me lay out the structure of this panel. So if I didn't have a panel here, I'd have this operator, and the operator would be registered, and I could use the operator, say in a Python script, I could actually use the operator here, but I wouldn't have a button in my interface where I could click and use and activate the operator, right? I wouldn't have any of that stuff. But the operator would exist in the Blender world. But the only way, like I said, the only way I could get to it would be through a Python console, or up here I could make a Python script, and I can make a new Python script that used it, right? But we wanted to have a panel, right? So here's our panel. And a panel has some required things. I think it has to have an ID name that isn't really used anywhere really by us, but you probably could make use of the name of it somewhere. And there's kind of a convention when you name panels to put PT in the name, but you can name it whatever you want, but I think it has to be a unique name. And here it just says PT scene, PT hello, but it doesn't really matter. This label though that it has, BL underscore label, that's the label that it gets when you put the panel in your scene, in your user interface. The label for it gets put right here. And then these two things here say where to put these three things. Say where to put the panel in the user interface. This says it's part of the 3D view window, the tool shelf of the 3D view window in a tab category called add icos. So that's how it came to be. Let me see. Well, you can't really see it there because it's being truncated, right? But if I go back to the default over here, well, yeah. If I stretch this down, yeah, this, you can't see it, but this would say add icos if we could see the whole thing. So that's how this panel ended up in the tool shelf of the 3D view window under a tab called add icos. It happened because of this right here. Okay. Okay. Oh, that's the end of the thing. And a panel needs at least a method called draw that you're required to make. And when you draw into something called the layout of the panel. So a panel has something called a layout. And here I'm just dereferencing it so that I don't have to say self.layout every time. I can now just say layout. And then I can look up the current object of the current scene in case I wanted to make use of it in here, but I'm making use of scene in here, but I'm not making use of that variable I made called OBJ, but we might as we refine this a little bit more. And in a layout, I can make a new row. And in that row, I can make a label. And the text of the label could say hello world, and I can put an icon associated with the label that says world data. That's the name of the icon is world data. There's a bunch of different icons that you could choose, right? So that's how this little world and hello world ended up here with the exclamation point after it, okay? Then I make another row in my panel. And in that row, I'm going to not put a label, I'm gonna put a property. I'm gonna lay out one of the properties that I've created. And the way you refer to properties is a little bit weird. You start with the name of the property group that it's a part of. So that scene.mySettings. Remember we had that, that was the property group we had made. But then instead of saying dot num icos after it, I put comma, and then in double quotes, I put num icos. So the way you read this is scene.mySettings dot num icos, that's the property, but I say comma, and then in, as a string, num icos. I think that's because num icos is a key of the dictionary, and then this is the name of the dictionary. And so this is the name of the key in the dictionary. I think that's internally how this gets interpreted. And then I can put text associated with the layout of that property. Now, num icos is what? What kind of property is it? If I scroll back up here, num icos is an integer. When I lay out an integer property, I automatically get a widget that looks like this, that lets me change the value, and it has to be an integer. So if I put 2.3, it gets changed to 2. If I put the letter A, it says name A is not defined up here as an error, and it didn't change it, it kept it at 2, right? Because it has to be an integer. Okay. So you get some automatic stuff here. Okay, so that lays that out, and the label in it says num icos colon, and this just says number of icos, and this says number of icos. It didn't say num icos, it says number of icos. That's where that label came from in the interface. And then I make another row, and then I lay out an operator. I put an operator in that row. And the operator I'm putting there is the one called scene.addIcos. That's this operator. And I didn't put text for it, but I could. But if I don't put text for it, then the text that says here add random icos comes from the label in where we define the operator. So if I go back up to our add icos, it says BL label add random icospheres. That's where add random icospheres came from. That's where that came from, right there. Okay. So this was a good kind of a refresher. But now after you've seen this when we first made it, it may have been kind of a little bit more mysterious because you're just beginning to learn it. But now that we've learned it more, now when you look at it, you have a different context in your mind and these things start to make more sense. So, you know, when Bob and I started doing all this, we had to kind of learn this on the fly and, like you, do this several times before it really started to sink in. And then we were then on the prepared and on the road for further learning. Okay, so wouldn't it be nice if we could, I don't know, see the values that we had just attached to these things? Those values could be, you know, the result of some deeper data analysis or geometric data analysis. Here we're just using random numbers as a proxy for all that heavy lifting that you could do. And what if you wanted to make a list and be able to see those values in the list here? So there's a number of different things you could do with these data, right? You could just leave it be internal and then have some kind of other Python script that looks inside there, introspects it, and prints out stuff and puts it in a data file. You could do it right from the command line. Not from the command line. You could do it right here. You could make a script in Python in the scripting interface, or up here you could make another. You can make another script in the text widget interface in Blender, make a new script that iterates over all the objects in your scene, gets those values and prints them to the command line, to your terminal window, or puts them in a file. Lots of things you could do. So just to give a quick tour of what you might do. You could say, I could make a variable called OBJs, which is going to be BPY.data.objects. So OBJs is a collection, right? And that collection has these keys in it. And so then what I could do is I could say for OBJ in, well, I'm not sitting squarely from a keyboard. In OBJs, I could say print OBJ.name, right, like that. But I could do this again. I could print the name. And then I could also say print obj.myjprops. Is that what we called it? So you'll notice here, I didn't have to put these things in square brackets. I could also do it this way. My OBJ props, square bracket, and then another square bracket, value 1. Let's go back. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to go all the way back here. And it would do the same thing. So this, so the user, the way Blender does this internally to make it possible to refer to something in a more traditional dictionary way, or in a way that makes it look like a Python object, is some magic, some Python magic. Nothing's magic, right? It's all, but it's kind of cool capabilities that Python has if you tickle the Python internal way of doing things a little bit. And I'm not exactly sure how that's done. Maybe Adam knows more about how you can do that, but I think it has to do with manipulating the Python internal dictionary. So Python is, the Python language is really built on the concept of dictionary. So every variable you have, every class you have, those are entries in a dictionary that you have access to. But it's dangerous, normally dangerous to kind of play with that thing and tickle that thing. So you have to be very careful about it. But if you are careful about it, it's there and you can make things pretty cool. Anyway, so you can see, with a quick script, you can dig inside there, right? But what if we wanted it to now maybe display in the user interface instead? Okay, so let's say I wanted to have a list display here, and in that list, a name of all the objects and the values, value 1 and value 2 listed in a list over here. To start with, what if I just wanted to lay out in here just one line that says for the currently selected one, whichever one it is, just show its name and its value right there. So we can start with that. So how would we do that? Okay. So we can go over here, and this would make use of this object. Context.object. Let's see. Yeah, and so if I pick that one, it's now that one, right? Okay, so whichever one is currently selected, active, I'm not sure what c.object actually is about, but okay, might be the act, there's also something called active object, which is that one. And then there's, let's see if I change it. It's now that one. Not sure what's different between
active. I think we looked at that last time. You can select several objects, but only one of them will be the active object.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's the last one selected or something.
Yeah. So let's see if I should click on several of these. Let's see if I click that one and then 1, 2, 3. The last one that I clicked is the yellow one. The other ones become orange. And if I say active object, it's number 7. And if I just look at object, it's also number 7. I'm not sure what the difference is. But okay, over here we say OBJ is whichever one that is, right? And so down here I could say, let's make a new row. So there's other layout options, lots of options. You can make columns and rows and sub and groups within a row and things like this, and you can make a box around a group of columns and rows and put a box around it. You can make separators between different parts of the panel. Lots of things you can do, and the documentation that I shared with you, those pages go into detail on all the different ways of laying things out. Okay, but let's make a new row. And in our row, we're gonna lay out, say, I'm gonna say, let's see. So here we're gonna have, yeah, so we could do that. Let's say it's gonna be like, it's gonna be kind of like that, but it's not gonna be NumIcos. It's gonna be the value 1. And the text is gonna be not the text for it. The text is gonna be the obj.name object. Well, actually, I can do, actually, this will be, you know, the text could be, value 1, say, and let's see.
Does it matter if it's single quotation marks or
double? Yeah, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I'll make it be double. I don't think it matters, but I kind of have a habit of using the single quote. Let's see, this is, that's the operator. This is a row where I'm going to lay out. Why do I have that in there twice? Not sure why I had that in there twice. Space here so I can tell what I got. There's my label. Here for the, I'm going to label, and this label is going to be, text is going to be obj.name. And pretty sure there's an icon called Icosphere that'll make it kind of look kind of cool. And then I made it, so I'm gonna have one row where I name the object, and then on the second row, I'm going to lay out my settings, but the obj props, I think that's what it's called. Yeah, my obj props dot value 1. And there'll be a little label associated with it. And maybe that's good enough.
Should there be again quotes after in obj.name?
Oh, I couldn't quite hear your question.
Oh, sorry, my mic was up.
Oh.
Should there be double quotation marks or quotation marks after text equal obj.name in row label, row.label text?
Double quotes here? No, because, well, up here we said text equal double quote because this is a string.
Oh.
That we want to display, but down here, obj.name is a string. It's a string type already, so I don't put that in quotes. If I put it in quotes, then it would say,
oh yeah, yeah.
obj.name, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. There's some subtleties to this, and that's a good one to have noticed. So. As you program more and more, these things become kind of second nature. But but second nature for things that are simple, like is it is it the value or is this a string? But it gets really but it gets really subtle when you have kind of pointers to pointers to pointers to pointers, and you want to know, do I want the pointer or the thing the pointer is pointing to? And yeah. And Adam knows what I'm talking about. It can be really twisted to think about what's really going on. Why is it giving me an error now? I'm doing it right. I know I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Okay. I don't know. So let's leave it like that. And I'm going to do a make install. And I'll quit from Blender and restart. So what I've just done was install the updated add-on, because remember we made I'm kind of jumping ahead here, or moving too fast. So let me clear my screen and type ls. And remember, our add-on consists of the init.py and the panel.py. And then we made a make file that has a target in it called install. And when I type make install, the make program looks for a file called makefile automatically. And inside the makefile are the instructions that say how to make this zip file, and then how to unzip that zip file into the add-ons directory of the Blender, of my Blender installation. So it installs it automatically for me. So when I say make install, you don't see, it actually does say it's going to make this file called addicos.zip, and then it's going to extract it into my addicos, into my add-ons directory, and it's going to extract and it's going to make the subdirectory called addicos add-on, and then the init file, init.py, and the panel.py, right? So the make program is reporting and the unzip program is reporting what it's doing as it does it. So we can see that did. So that installs it, but it doesn't change the way it looks here unless you restart Blender. Or there might be a way, let me see, file under user preferences, there might be a way here to unregister and then register. That may have just made it refresh. No, it didn't, because this still looks the same. So I think I have to, quit Blender and then restart Blender, and it's not showing me anything. There should be an error message. Okay. Yeah, there's an error message. So it didn't like it. And what doesn't it like? Error with. Unknown argument, row.label, text equal obj name, comma, icon equal icosphere. It's not happy with something I did there. It's not happy a whole bunch of times. Okay, let's see. There's some kind of typo. Let's see, up here we said text equal and then icon equal, and that's row.label. And down here, I think it's possible that it's not happy because sometimes you don't have a context.object. It's possible. So maybe if I say if obj, maybe that makes it happier. So only if there's a, like I say, you know, not, none maybe. I'm not sure what the possibilities are here for context on object, whether it can ever be equal to none or not. Not positive, I'm just kind of guessing here. Okay, let's try this again. Okay, we don't see any errors there yet. But then as soon as I click, it gives me an error. Error with keyword argument icon. Oh, icosphere not found in maybe there isn't something called icosphere. That must be the problem. I thought there was something called icosphere, but there isn't.
But it's weird because is world data in that list?
What's that?
So you have an icon further up that's called world data, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see it in that list.
Yeah, maybe the
list. Which is why it's looking for icosphere.
Yeah, that is funny. Maybe the list is being truncated and this isn't the whole.
No, that's possible. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I thought it was called icosphere. But I'll just put that one in there because I know it's there. And we could look up what the real name of the icon is. Let's see. But let's just see if that fixes it. See. Around here. Aha, there it is. That was the problem. So this says cube. Value 0, right? Well, where'd the 0 come from? Well, remember we said that the default value for value 1 and value 2 is 0. And the cube isn't even one of the objects that we made with the add icos, right? And this illustrates another thing, which is that this metadata that we made augments all objects. Anything in the Blender scene that is an object will have metadata. And since this is a float value widget, I could actually type in a value here like 1.2, which will be remembered. So not only can I assign random data with my add icos add-on, but I actually have this metadata that I can edit by hand and make be whatever value I want it to be. Okay, but let's maybe delete all these guys and add some random icospheres. And when I click on each one, you can see the value changing as I click. Pretty cool. And, you know, here I'm showing value one, but I could just as easily show value two. And I could make a list widget here that lists all of them. And as I and could lay out and show you all the values all at once as a list over here. And then, you know, I'm not sure why you would make a list, but a list is useful for, say, being able to select an individual one and then do something to it. Oh, okay, so here's IcoSphere 6. It shows you its little name over there, just like I said it would. And looks like 6 has a value of 1.0. Let's make, which is rounding. It's now when I click in it, I think that the default for a float widget is to have a precision of 2 significant figures, I think. So it's going to round it to the nearest 2 significant figures. But when I click in here, I can see all the significant figures. You can see that if I round that up to the nearest 2 significant figures, it's going to be 1.00, right? Which is why, you know, when I click on it here, I can see 1.00 instead of 0.99. There's a way to control how many significant figures are displayed in the widget. But let's go in here and I'll say, you know, what if I want to set its value to 0.05 for IcoSphere 6? Now that's in there, right? So when I click come back to it, I've now changed the value to be, you know, whatever I want it to be. So this is demonstrating a couple things all at the same time. Okay, well, it's now 10 after 11, or almost 10 after 11. So maybe that's a good stopping place for today. I'll do a commit on the change that we made, but hopefully this is now, we've now rebooted our memory banks with what we've done so far, and we're now caught up. And by going over it again, you can see kind of the deeper logic behind what's going on here. And your imagination starts to now be inspired with how you might make your own add-ons or do your own kind of data analysis and make add-ons that kind of automate and give you a user interface for doing this. And we'll, of course, we'll be doing more with this in the upcoming lectures, but now I think you can start to see some of the possibilities. Okay, I'll stop sharing my screen and stop the recording. Or maybe before I stop the recording, maybe take any last minute questions before we sign off, if you have any. If not, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Bye, and I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks, because we're going every 2 weeks. I will post the recording and do a commit to the repo with the changes that we just made, and then I'll post the recording to, you know, to the usual location for you to review at your leisure. And have a great weekend, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Bye.
Enjoy your carrot cake.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm heading right out to the kitchen. Okay.
See ya.
Okay, bye.